coming, some people are going, changing their seats. So, for this evening's talk, I know that many people always ask for correct speech, right speech, politically correct speech, but tonight I'm going to talk about right listening, not speech, but what you do with that speech. And anyway, I don't know why people call it politically correct speech, because I've known many politics and I've heard some of their speeches, and something, it's not something which I would like to emulate. It's not something which is inspiring. So really, politically correct, in other words, correct by political standards, is usually not that fun, not that good. Because I do remember some of the great political put-downs. What was it? I think one of the great ones was Mr. Keating, who described another very small, bald politician who was the leader of the party as a shiver looking for a spine to go up. You remember that one? It's incredible. That's really quite inventive. Or poor old, not poor old, Mr. Winston Churchill, who, when he was fighting an election against this fellow called Clement Attlee, "So what do you think of him?" "He's a very humble man," said Winston Churchill, "but then he's got much to be humble about." That's really great put downs. If that's politically correct, I don't know why we use that even word, politically correct. It should be something else, not just politically correct, but just humanly correct or compassionately correct speech, CC. But it's not just the way we speak, because sometimes I've noticed that it's actually wrong listening. Listening with a negative mind, with a fault-finding mind, with a mind which sometimes doesn't really listen to what is truly being said. So that's why tonight I wanted to talk about solving the problem of misunderstandings, of hurt, offense, of people not being able to communicate properly together, not hearing each other. That's the word, not being heard. Because not being heard, it means one has to speak a little bit more articulately, but also being able to hear other people, hear another person's pain and difficulties and problems, so that any pain which happens in the human discourse can actually be overcome and let go of. And I think a lot of times that people do say lovely things, but they get misunderstood. The instructions just do not get heard. I do remember the occasion, anecdotal, but it was when a nun, a bhikkhuni, was being driven to the airport. It was not in this country, it was in another country. And her driver, she told her driver, she gave directions, "Go straight ahead at the roundabout." And the driver had so much faith in the nun that that's exactly what she did. She didn't veer to the left and go around the roundabout. She was told to go straight ahead at the roundabout, so that's what she did. Went straight ahead, over the hump in the middle and the other side. So that's why I know that sometimes when I get a driver, because monks can't drive themselves, so when I ever have a driver, I make sure I give the correct directions. And so and I say straight ahead at the lights. I say, once they're red. So no, that's the wrong way around, isn't it? You see? Once they're green, then it goes straight ahead. But you know, there's no traffic coming. But sometimes that's what people feel, that they listen, they misunderstand. Part of the time is because that our speech is inaccurate. We mean one thing and we say another. And I was just looking at a few little stories, mostly jokes, a few minutes ago, and it reminded me of a story I haven't told him. I don't think anyone has heard this. It was an old, I think I saw this in a Sri Lankan little book a long time ago. There was many years ago when, you know, people would do trading, you know, not by, you know, buying things on Amazon, where you had to have little caravans going from one place to another. And in this particular case, there was a merchant, and he was traveling on foot, one place to another, and he was carrying three bags. One was a bag of gold, the other one was a bag of rice, and the other one was a bag of salt. So this is all about right listening, so listen carefully. And as they were, he was going, he came to a river. There'd just been a storm, and so the river was a bit flooded, and the current was going very fast. And he just started to wonder how he could cross this swollen river carrying the three bags. So he saw, you know, a very strong young man, you know, just similar to me, sitting sitting doing nothing, and he shouted out at him, he said, "If you carry me across, if you carry me across safely, you can take whatever I want." And so he said, "Okay." So the strong man, he just lifted the merchant on his shoulders and carried him safely across the stream. When he got across the stream, the young man said, "Okay, I want the gold. So give me the gold." And the merchant said, no. "I said, you should have been listening carefully. If you carry me safely across, I'll give you whatever I want. So I want to give you the salt, so you have to take that." "That's unfair. I risked my life for you," said the young man. He said, "No, that was the deal." And so, being very upset, they took him to the nearest village to see the headman. And the headman said, "Well, that's what he said, whatever I want," and not happy at all. So they said, "I want to go to the town," said the young man. So they went to the town and they saw a judge. And the judge said, "Well, that's what the deal was. He said he'd give you whatever I want, that was the words." So then they took him to the king. And of course, all the kings in those days always had a wise minister. I don't know where those wise ministers have gone these days, because it's very hard to find one in the government. And the wise minister said, "Look, I can settle this." So the wise minister said in front of the king, "Merchant, now put your three bags down for a moment. Now, what did you say?" And the merchant said, "I promised if this gentleman would carry me safely across, I would give him one of these bags, whichever one I want." And he asked the young man, he said, "Is that what he said?" "Oh, well, yeah, that's what he said, but that's, no, I didn't think that's what he meant. But that's what he said. So, we have to settle this case here and now. So, first of all, I will take one of the bags as my fee for settling this case." So the minister took the bag of rice, and he told the merchant, "You go off now and take one of the bags, and the other bag will be with the laborer." And so the merchant started picking up the bag of gold, and the minister said, "Ah, is that the bag you want? So you told the laborer, 'I will give that bag, whichever bag I want, to the laborer. So that must be the bag of gold.' Give it to the laborer." So that was why you must always be very careful of what you say, and also be very careful of what you hear. Otherwise, that there's always a lot of misunderstandings. So anyway, the trouble is, a lot of people think they know how to speak, but how many of you really know how to hear, how to listen? First of all, if you're in a bad mood, if you just come home from work and you're very tired, if things haven't gone well for you today, then whenever you hear anything, you're always likely to interpret it in a bad way. Someone is having a go at me. Someone is being upset at me. You've got no right to say this. And you always notice that if a person always adds and interprets whatever they hear in a bad way. For example, sometimes when you come home, and especially if you're living with a doctor, and you ask your husband, who's not a doctor, how are you feeling today? He said, are you trying to get more business out of me? Sometimes, how do you listen? Sometimes we add so much to what's being said. If somebody comes up to us and praises us, oh, thank you so much for being you. Thank you, Mr. President, for looking after our Buddhist society for such a long time. And you think, what does he mean by that? What does he want? Is he trying to butter me up for something? Because a lot of times we just misinterpret. If we really have doubt, if we have some bad stuff from the past, sometimes we always think, what does he mean? And we interpret it in a wrong way. We have wrong hearing. And a lot of times that happens, you know, with a lack of trust, a lack of compassion, a lack of listening with a kind ear. So we always say sometimes that we always will speak with kindness. We should act with kindness, but also we should listen with kindness too. In other words, what does this person really, really mean? There was a story of a man, I heard this such a long time ago, and he managed to get himself a nice new red sports car. He'd worked so long and so hard, saved lots of money, and now he had his big red fast sports car. The trouble was that driving it here in Perth meant that, you know, too many speed cameras, too many cops, so he decided to take it out into the bush. So he'd take it out into away from the metropolitan area, and he put his foot down and he started speeding. He was enjoying every minute of speeding until he passed, you know, his noisy car, passed a farmer. And the farmer shouted out to this wealthy person from the city making all this noise, speeding in a place he didn't really belong. And he shouted out of this rich guy in his sports car, pig! And if you called a pig, what would you do? The driver turned around, who are you calling a pig? At which point he hit a pig in the middle of the road. Which is called wrong listening. He thought because he called him a pig, that, you know, well, he was, you know, he was in a bad mood because, you know, he's so arrogant and looking after himself and not worrying about the neighbourhood. So he thought, you know, that they were just abusing him. He didn't realise the farmer's actually been quite kind and tried to point out it's a pig in the middle of the road. Pig! Who are you calling a pig? And he hit one. So, poor old pig. But anyway, that the point of the story was that sometimes when people shout at us, or they say something, are we really hearing what they're saying? Or are we hearing what we think they're saying? Have we really got right listening? Or are we really just listening, which is already judging before it even reaches our brain? So, this is one of the reasons why when you learn how to listen much more wisely, not with judgment, but listening at the nice possibilities, it's amazing how you can turn this world, instead of being offended, you can actually turn it to your advantage. When I was in Melbourne, I had to talk to some kids, and I was telling the kids some stories, and of course, one of the things which happens to people these days, they get bullied at school. Kids who are slightly different can get offended. And so I remember the story which went all around sort of the local area where Ajahn Chah used to live, called Ubon Ratchathani. Because even when I first went there, they were just close. Well, it's actually when I first went there, there was still the US Air Force Base just outside of Ubon. It's now actually it's an international airport now in Ubon. It used to be the old US Air Force Base. But because it was the Vietnam War and there was many soldiers and aircraft people, pilots, over in that part of Thailand, they would go into town for food and for recreation. And there was a story of this one American soldier. He was an Afro-American. And he got in a cycle rickshaw to be taken from the base over into the town. And so as he went in the cycle rickshaw, just, you know, happily just enjoying the scenery, the rickshaw driver just happened to pass some of his friends. Now, a rickshaw driver, you know, is usually, you know, very, very hard work, don't get paid that much. And so maybe it was because of, you know, their difficult life that many of them just managed to survive the day by drinking cheap whiskey. And he passed many of his friends who had been drinking by the side of the road, and because they were half drunk, they were quite offensive. And they saw this black African-American soldier in the back of the taxi, and one of them shouted out very offensively, "Where are you taking that dirty dog to?" Now that's really sort of bad, but this was now 35, 40 years ago, 44 years ago, so when I first got there. But this African-American soldier, he wasn't moved at all. He was just looking at the scenery, just smiling, just enjoying himself. So the driver assumed that he could not understand the local language, because this was done in Isan language, the dialect of Thai, Laotian mostly. And so the driver decided to have some fun at the soldier's expense and said, "See how dirty this African-American soldier is? I'm going to take him into town and throw him in the river for a good wash. Ha, 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 ha." So the soldier, being called a dog, being called dirty, he was just looking at the scenery, smiling. And when he got to the middle of town, that is when the soldier got out of the rickshaw and walked away without paying. At which point the rickshaw driver shouted out in the just best little English he'd learnt over those years, he said, "Soldier, fare, pay, money." And at which point the soldier turned around and said in perfect Thai Isan language, "Dogs don't have money." So we always, that was used by Ajahn Chah, by saying that if someone does call you a dog, it does mean you don't have to pay. Yay! So what that was, instead of allowing solve yourself to get upset, the listening was, okay, I can use this to my advantage and also teach the person the effects of bad speech afterwards. It was actually learning how to listen carefully instead of reacting with anger straight away. So when we learn how to use our ears carefully, even compassionately, wisely, we find we can make a very, very positive contribution to relationships. But when we always listen, prejudging, what does he mean by this? What does he really want to say? She's just putting me down. He is just having another go at me. That is where a lot of problems start from. So for wise listening, whenever you listen to someone, give them the benefit of the doubt. One of the ways of doing that is always when you listen, it's like when you see something, they always say that sometimes you see things through rose-tinted glasses. My glasses are not tinted rose. Sometimes in the bright light they go dark, but that is not because I'm trying to imitate Elvis Presley and be a cool monk. It is just because those are the shades, some of the lights that people gave me this and say that I may be subject to cataracts later on. But, you know, just to, what's it called, light sensitive glasses or whatever. Anyway, there's a word for it. But anyway, so they change with the light. Transition glasses. Okay, very good. Transition, that's, transition means like impermanent, anicca, very appropriate glasses for monks. It's just like when I go to, people ask me, what airline do you always travel on when you go to Melbourne? It's always Virgin Airlines, because Virgin is the appropriate carrier for a monk. That's what I thought anyway. So anyway, when I was, there we are, that sometimes that instead of having rose-tinted glasses, the idea of rose-tinted glasses, whatever you see through those rose-tinted glasses, which everything looks beautiful, wonderful. But instead of looking at that with glasses, with ears, some people have rose-tinted ears, if you like, and some people have black-tinted ears or dark. We'll always hear what is negative about people. Never hear the good news or the good speech. Never listen in a way which they can accept, oh, that's wonderful, the person is very kind. If you actually just notice, it's what you put between things affects what you perceive. If you put negativity between a relationship, this is what I expect. You know, this is a person in the office is always a bully, he's always trying to get at me, he's always trying to really upset me. And if you listen with, you put that between you and another person, of course you're going to hear and see sort of negative stuff. But if you put something more positive between you and the people you live with, then what you hear is something quite nice. For example, you know, just again, during the meditation, somebody started snoring. I think you all heard that. Except one person, and that was one person who was talking. But was that pleasant or unpleasant? Did you hear, or did you listen, and right listening or wrong listening? Because if it's wrong listening, say, why are they doing that? They shouldn't be doing that. We did they disturb? I could have been enlightened this evening, and they spoiled it all. You could listen like that, or you can listen like, what a wonderful thing that the person was relaxing and resting, they probably feel so much better now. Because that was a time, just I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, but there was this lady here some years ago now, she fell fast asleep here, and somebody just nudged her, woke her up, and I just, why'd you do that for? You know, she was a victim of domestic abuse, and this place was safe for her. And because she felt safe here, she managed to get the first sleep, probably in days, real sleep. So sometimes we can hear sort of snoring, and we can just say, they shouldn't snore here. Or we can have right listening and say, oh, they're comfortable, they're having a good rest. Wonderful. So you can see just what we hear is actually a lot of it is actually conditioned by what we think is should be heard, what shouldn't be heard. When it comes to even dogs barking, shut up, dog. What do you mean? That's what a dog does. They bark. That's their nature. What do husbands do? Beau said bark. Oh, no, they say, I will do it later. What do wives do? Nag, 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 nag. Oh, I always remember this. There was a man, and he said, he had a job up north for days and days and days on end, and a couple of weeks on, 3 weeks or something. And he said, I'll miss my wife when I go up. Can I jump up? Can you give me some ideas of how can I cope missing my wife? You know, I'm very attached to her. He said, yeah, very easy. Just, you know, this was a long time ago when they had these cassette tape recorders. So get out a cassette tape and just, whenever she's angry at you, nagging at you, record it. A nagging tape. So that when you go up north somewhere and you miss her, just get the nagging tape out. So freedom, freedom. It's not just, you know, just to balance things. You know, it's not just to be negative. But just a lot of times, you know, we hear sometimes what we want to hear, which is one of the reasons why that sometimes I think sometimes people are looking, you know, because they're in a bad mood. You can understand maybe why they're in a bad mood, but then sometimes they hear things and they get very offended, very upset. That's not what I meant. Because, you know, my speech was okay, but you had the wrong hearing. So, I don't know, but there's one way of hearing. I still remember, I don't know where they've gone to, this couple, but I always thought they were an amazing couple. I often quote them. As an Australian man married to a Thai girl, and I remember just talking to them, and they'd been married for quite a long time. And, you know, he, you know, couldn't speak a word of Thai, and she couldn't speak a word of English, and they're just so happy together. They didn't have any trouble with right hearing because they just couldn't understand and hear. But it also brings to the point, the right hearing, it's not just the words. So don't just listen with your ears. This is why it's really important to listen with your eyes as well. You know, because your eyes can say a lot about what you mean. And if you look at a person when you're talking, make that eye contact, a lot of times they can get the feeling. Little twinkle in the eye, you know, means you're not really that serious. But if you really are angry, just you can see from the body language, even the smells and other things. So actually real communication is not just with the ears, which is one of the reasons why when you're listening on the phone or you're just Skyping, or sometimes you just miss too much. Which is one of the reasons why to have real right hearing, right listening, it takes a lot of your senses. Sometimes, again, to have right listening, you have to actually be quiet inside. Because how many times, especially if you live with someone a long time, you're trying to say something, explain something, trying to be heard, and the other person's not listening to you at all. They just already started their counter-argument. I notice this because sometimes that when somebody speaks, the other person interrupts you all the time. Which means they're not listening at all, they're just waiting for their opportunity to argue. To real listening, real listening means having a very peaceful, quiet mind. And you really let the other person say what they need to say. So actually you can actually take it in. And you're not just listening to the content, not just the words they say. Because, you know, the words they say just is not as important as how they feel. And it's from that. You know, sometimes a person may, and sometimes you think, oh, you must have had such a very hard day today. So you're actually listening to where it's coming from. not just the words themselves. Because everybody says stupid things sometimes, they get the words the wrong way round, and sometimes they're upset, they had a very hard day, or they're very tired, and they sometimes they mean to say one thing and it comes out another way. And that's happened to me many times, when you just say the wrong word and you get very in trouble afterwards. I'm trying to think of one of the examples when I've really made a big mess when I said the wrong word, because people, you know, just misunderstood. Oh, let's have an example, because I was actually trying this little story out earlier about people who don't hear correctly. You know, the words they hear, but they don't really understand what the words really meant. And that was the story of that man who went past his kid's bedroom one evening. As he went past his kid's bedroom, his kid was actually praying by the side of the bed. Yeah. And the kid was actually praying. What he was saying is, God bless Mummy, God bless Daddy, God bless Grandma, and goodbye Grandpa. Which was weird. But anyway, he didn't think twice about it. He went to bed. But the following morning, Grandpa was dead. Now, he died in his sleep. It was a bit spooky. But, you know, he didn't think again about it. A couple of weeks later, he passed his kid's bedroom, and similar thing. The kid was praying by the bed and said, God bless Mummy, God bless Daddy, goodbye Grandma. He thought, wait, weird. But you can imagine how he felt in the morning when Grandma was also stone dead. And this was really freaky. But you can't do anything, you can't prove anything. So, you know, a few days later, after, you know, the funeral of Grandma, that he was passing by his kid's bedroom, looked in the door, and his heart almost froze when he saw his little kid saying, God bless Mummy, goodbye Daddy. That's really scary. So, you know, he just went to bed, but he couldn't sleep at all. So he wondered, you know, he's going to die tonight, you know, by probability what happened before. He was really anxious. If you think you're anxious sometimes, that's real big anxiety. So what can I do? He got up, his wife was fast asleep, and he thought, what can I do to escape death, certain death? So he had this idea. He dressed quickly, and he got in his car and he drove to his office. And he locked himself in the office, barricaded a desk against the office door so no one could get in. And he sort of anxiously, he just counted every minute, just, you know, still another minute, still alive. The hours went past, midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., still alive. I'm managing to, you know, to cheat the angel of death. And when the dawn came up, he sighed a sigh of relief. He'd escaped death. And he was just, whew, so relieved. A new day had come and he was still alive. And so then he did his work that day, but he was so exhausted. You know, he sort of did half his work. And when he went home after the office, you know, he saw his wife and gave her a big hug. He said, oh, I had a terrible day at work. And his wife said, you had a terrible day. When I got up, I don't know where you went to this morning, when I got up in the morning, just when I opened the door, the postie was dead outside my door. Goodbye, Daddy. You see, he hadn't listened carefully. I just roll that in, because these are the only things people remember after my talks. But, you know, sometimes, you know, what people really mean to say, and sometimes what they do really say, we misunderstand. And so I think it's wonderful if you can give more and more people the better. How many times have you been misunderstood? You're meant to say something nice, something good, something kind, and people just don't get it. You know, and sometimes you really do need to talk to someone and they're not really hearing you. You know, because they're too busy or they're just prejudging, they already think they know what you're going to say. And one of the reasons that is that people just miss it all the time. And those misunderstandings create a lot of problems. One of the politicians I did know, he was a fellow called Dr. Sanya Tamasak, for any Thai people. He was a Prime Minister of Thailand for 1 year. And he was also a very devout Buddhist. So I remember him coming up to Wat Bapong, Siajan Cha, and also to see the Western monks. I remember talking to him and asked him what it's like to be a politician, like a very big politician, like a prime minister. And he said that, an amazing thing what he said, which I'll always remember, he said there was never a problem I couldn't solve in politics by just going to see the adversary, just the two of us, not any other people, just one-on-one. And he said he'd put his hand on his adversary's knee, which in Thai culture was just a symbol of friendship, and then listen to what the problem was. Listen. And I always took that on board, because even like in a monastery, big monastery now, Bodhidharma Monastery, or a big Buddhist society, and just it's amazing just how far we've grown. And there's always going to be some arguments, differences of opinion. But something which I know, as long as you are heard, I mean you really are heard. One of the worst things is if you have, you know, a point of view and people dismiss you. Are you just a junior monk? What do you know? You've got no experience. I'm the expert. What does that actually feel like when you're not even heard? You're not respected. And having been there and experienced things like that, you know, as a young monk, that it's really important that when somebody has a different idea, different opinion than you, you stop and you empty your mind, be peaceful and listen to them. And even if what they say, you know, doesn't make any sense, even if you disagree with it, at least you listen. And if you really do that honestly, you listen to what another person says, a lot of times, you know, you get some more information, maybe you can adjust your point of view, change a little bit, but even if you totally disagree with them, if they're really just sort of, you know, off the planet in what they're saying, at least you're listening to them and you're hearing them. And that makes a lot of difference. You know, the talk which I gave here last week about Buddhism and cats, I say every now and again I like some really weird subjects, and you know, because Ajahn Sujata had been here, I think it was him, and he'd talk about aliens or other worlds, and I decided to see if I can up the ante and have alien abductions. And I gave a talk because it wasn't really sort of, you know, just being weird. It was an example that sometimes people say these things, we don't even hear them. We don't even hear what they're trying to tell us. We judge straight away, you must be crazy, you must be mad. But then you don't even judge, you listen very carefully. And it's amazing when you respected people's different points of view, different experiences which were totally outside, you know, my experience. You listen to them. It's amazing just how you get respect and how you get communication, how people feel so much better. And who knows? I haven't been abducted yet. Maybe I was, and brainwashed not to remember it. Who knows? Sometimes I look at some of my fellow monks or some of you, think, oh yeah. There's some people I wish would be abducted. If anyone has a number I can call. No, but that's demeaning, because some people, you know, they really feel they have, and I don't know, maybe it's true. But at least I listen and respect, which is important. Because the right listening is actually open your mind to something which is different, something which challenges, something which, don't ridicule a person, because what they're feeling might be true. So a lot of times I saw that first of all in science. People ridiculed, you know, people who were breaking new ground in science or in medicine. And I remember reading this story of this doctor, I think it was over in, could be the Czech Republic or around the Eastern Europe. And he decided that so many people were dying in hospitals of infections and that you should wash your hands, you know, before you did an operation. And, you know, he was one of the first persons who started hygiene. And he was laughed at. He was an idiot. There are no such things as germs. And of course, later on, he was proved to be such a savior. But I think he was even hounded out of the hospital where he worked because they didn't understand him at that time. Just simple things. So how many times in science could people just get laughed at and ridiculed? They're not really heard. So I think it's really important in science, in relationships, in our world, we do listen to people. And of course, you know, in monasteries, you know, when we have a meeting or in a committee, I think it really is important that we let a person be heard quietly, respectfully, without interruption, until they've had what they need to say. Let other people hear. Which means a lot of times, even if I haven't been, they haven't appreciated my ineffable wisdom, at least you've been heard. And that makes you feel so much better. Your views, your ideas, your experience has been respected. A lot of times that people go out from a meeting or a conversation simply because, and they feel the bad, because they haven't even been respected enough for their ideas and opinions to be taken seriously. And that's one of the worst sort of pains to experience. So what is really nice if we have at least the right listening, compassion for the other person, at least to listen to them, to hear them. I mean, respectfully. Instead of just, nope, just pushing them aside, that's an idiot, that's stupid. And where was it? I think Finland. I saw an article on mental health about how the system was dealing with schizophrenia, and in an innovative way. Now, for the schizophrenia, I think they described, you know, as a person who was suffering from a schizophrenia, was describing it like you're seeing a decapitated head rolling in front of you, and that's more real than anything else. In other words, what we would say is crazy, can't happen, it's illogical, it's irrational. But for the person experiencing that state, that was more real than anything else. And in this therapy, they were trying out with really good results. They weren't demeaning what we would call fantasies, what we would call delusions. They were actually respecting that person's description of their reality. And for a lot of us, you know, or many people think that's crazy, but no, respect. And when they respected that person's perception of their reality, because they weren't demeaned, they were not sort of thought there was something terribly wrong with them, they opened up, relaxed, and became far more peaceful. It was another of those examples of the anger-eating monster, get out of here, you don't belong, you don't exist, it gets worse. A little bit of acknowledgement of difference. Something which is beyond my comfort zone, beyond my experience. Acknowledge that, listen, respect their perception of reality. And then a sense of harmony comes. If you're saying you're crazy, you're wrong, what does that feel like? People have said that to you. and you get defensive, more isolated, which means that you miss the opportunity of right listening. And from that right listening, right hearing, there can be a lot of harmony, healing and peace in our communities. So it's important to listen. Listen respectfully. Don't prejudge. Between you and what you're hearing, put a bit of good quality, some kindness, some respect, some love, some even no conceit, not thinking I'm wrong, so I'm right and they're wrong, or I'm wrong and they're right. Either way, it just bends what you're hearing. And that way, who knows, we can have a bit more harmony and peace and progress. Imagine if we have right hearing in Parliament. Instead of right speech, politically correct listening. That would be something. So that's the talk for this evening. Da da da. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. So any comments, questions or complaints? I've got nothing against postmen or postwomen or posties, but it was just a joke, that's all. Okie dokie, here we go. Very good. So, we've got two questions here. From Poland, I thought someone was my friend, but they told me they don't consider me as one. I misunderstood them and now feel rejected. How should I cope with this and understand people better? Again, that sometimes that we are listening or hearing or seeing what we want to see. So we're putting something, our demands, our wants in front of us, and so we're not being truthful. When they say they don't consider me as one, as a friend, you misunderstood them, now you feel rejected. It's always, if that person is like that, they don't consider you as your friend, you don't sort of get on together. There's so many other people you can find friends with. And even if you don't find friends, it's wonderful. You can actually have a nice, peaceful life, become a monk or a nun. Then you feel so much wonderful just being alone. Sometimes I get into big trouble that people don't leave me alone. I go over to Melbourne, and people recognize me, and again, just the same old, you know, you can't get time to go to the toilet because, you know, the people want to talk to you or take photographs again. So anyway, if that person is not your friend, don't feel rejected, feel liberated. You know, that's one of the things when I went to do the ordination of nuns, of bhikkhunis, and I got kicked out of the Wat Pa Pong. And I thought, was I rejected? Was I expelled? I said, no, let's use a different word. You were liberated.
Sorry.
Thank you. So liberated. So it just depends the word. I mean, you call it rejected. No, don't call it rejected. Call it liberated. So anyway, cope with this and understand people better. Understand yourself, first of all, obviously. So to understand oneself, to be a friend to oneself, that is the most important. So if you have a good relationship to yourself, you're kind to yourself, you know what you always do if anyone feels rejected? Stand in front of the mirror in the morning, 10 push-ups, 1, 2, 3, 4. Give yourself a nice hug in the morning if no one else will. It's very difficult, especially for monks, to hug anyone. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, what happened with Catholic priests, sexual abuse or whatever, people get the wrong idea. So at least I don't get the wrong idea when I hug myself. and I don't catch any diseases. It's just really nice and simple. You don't get a letter from a lawyer. So it's very nice. So give yourself a nice hug, and it's really nice. So, and then if you learn how to love yourself, be kind to yourself, you know, happy with your own company, then you know how to be kind to others. So learn it on yourself, first of all. If you're a friend to yourself, it's easy to have a friend with others. If someone is talking to you about their problems, how can you know the best question to ask to help open them up? Oh, don't help open them up. That's their job, their duty, their responsibility. If they're talking to you about their problems, the best thing to do is always just to make them feel safe, let them be heard, and that they won't be compromised. So the way to do that is just to be kind, and then little by little they'll open themselves up more and more and more. So about their problems. A lot of times, you know, people know this, a lot of times they come and talk to a monk or to a nun or come and talk to you. You don't have to give answers. Sometimes there are no answers. All you need to do is to be there to listen. Because that listening, that, you know, really listening, they're talking to you, but they're also, when they're opening up at their own time, in their own way, you don't help them, you just allow them. Let the space happen that they can open up. Then they're also listening to themselves as well. So when they're talking to you, they're also listening to what they're saying. And in a safe space, non-judgmental, just, you know, feeling they're safe and cared for, little by little, they'll open up more and more. And you don't need to give them answers a lot of time. Those answers they can see for themselves. You're just there to be the listener, non-judgmental, so they can understand and feel at peace with themselves. And lastly, from Scotland, is right listening or right speech more important? They all go together, so right speech is important, but also right listening sometimes it's neglected. So learn how to speak carefully and kindly and precisely. But you know that sometimes that with the best will in the world, we make mistakes. We don't give the full picture of what we mean. We misunderstood. So right speech will never be perfect speech. Right speech will always depend upon right listening as well. And especially, you know, if you're having a relationship with somebody or even working in an office or something. So remember the right speech can never be perfect. You need right listening to help right speech. You need right speech to help right listening. The two work together. But the point was, the meaning of my whole talk is that sometimes we focus too much on the speech, and sometimes we need to balance that with the right listening. So we have both of those together, and then we can have a very peaceful, happy, harmonious time. Okay, any other comments, questions, complaints? Great, because I'm not going to listen to them anymore. Right listening has its use by time, and it's 9 p.m. So that's enough for my right speech, too much speech, and for your right listening. I hope it went well. So let's now bow to Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and then we can have a break.
Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ vivadhemi suvakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sangham namami.
Very good.